National Public Radio News here on KAXE, KBXE. It's 11 minutes before 7 o'clock. I'm Heidi Holton. John Latimer is away. We've got some updates, phenology reports coming in from our Season Watch page. That is coming up next. Don't forget to join it. It's on Facebook. I still say that that's probably the best reason, maybe the only best reason, to join Facebook is to take a look at all the things that people are seeing in northern Minnesota and beyond. Time now for our talkback segment of the Phenology program. It's where we listen to your calls on our talkback line. That number is 218-999-9876. You can always email us or John directly, jlatimer@kaxe.org, or post on our Season Watch page on Facebook. Today, that's what we've got. You'll get a little idea of what's going on Season Watch. We saw that Steve posted that on the shores of Lake Bemidji, he had a great photo of a goldfinch. He said, so happy to have a goldfinch visit today. I haven't seen any this spring or summer, and I like having them around the yard. They seem to cheer everything up. And Judith posted that she loves the goldfish, but she hasn't seen any. Mary's been seeing a lot of them. Karen from Grand Rapids reported she has some, but not as many as some summers. She thinks that the young may have fledged since the number is up. Love their bright color. And Linda posted that she saw 19 goldfinch at her feeder, and Vicky from Pennington says they have lots of goldfinch, also purple finches, that are wiping out their feeders. She said, fun fact, the goldfinch is the Iowa state bird, and the wild rose is the state flower. Sharon posted in our Season Watch page on Facebook from Fridley, she had a great group photo of orioles. She's got at her feeder this year. She said, we've been trying to get them back for years. And Jin said she's also been seeing orioles for a few weeks in northeast Brainerd. And Linda says she used to have as many as 9 pairs of orioles where she lives between St. Cloud and Clearwater, but the last few years, almost nothing. And KAXE, KBXE volunteer Brandon Lentz had a great photo of the Blackburian warbler that he spotted in Aiken County over the weekend. He wrote, I was in the woods by 6 a.m., determined to find a Blackburnian warbler, one of the most striking birds in the state. I preach it constantly, but it remains true. Getting to the woods by sunrise is the best way to find wild things. Sleep, deprival, and determination paid off. Blackburnian warblers like to hang out and forage high in the treetops of mixed deciduous coniferous forests, and sunrise is when they're most active. Knowing that, I hung out in an area filled with tall trees deep in the wood. After a few minutes of swatting mosquitoes and horseflies away, I heard a high-pitched and buzzy song trilling from above me. This gorgeous fellow came down close enough for me to ogle it and take a few photos. Success. The early bird gets the bird, says Brandon Lentz. Join us on Season Watch on Facebook. Find the links at kaxe.org.
You gotta testify, tell the truth, stand on the rock of wood.
You're listening to The Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. We have just passed the summer solstice. We've had sunrise to sunset, 15 hours and 55 minutes of daylight. And now we begin to count it down, but slowly at first. It'll pick up as we get to the end of July and into August. But for now, just a few seconds a day. I've been watching the yarrow blooming along the edges of the road. Yarrow is that pale bluish green sort of a stem, very fern-like leaves. If you just looked at the leaves, you would think that you were looking at ferns. And the name for yarrow is Archilia millifolium, and the millifolium refers to 1,000 leaves. And if you looked at it and each of those little fine little threads coming off of there is a leaf, Well, then it certainly does have 1,000 leaves or more. The flower itself is a big 2-3-inch wide disc of tiny white flowers, and it started blooming last Tuesday, and it has increased in its frequency, and now I think that it is probably has reached its first peak of flowering. So keep an eye out for the yarrow. Ditches along your driveway, perhaps. It grows on some pretty dry soils. Also, another plant that really gets misidentified, I think. It's one of those that, it's a bit like the columbine, which everybody seems to want to call honeysuckle. The hedge bindweed is blooming right now. It has a big 2-inch across white trumpet-shaped flower, sometimes streaked with pink. And this big white flower, almost everybody who sees it says morning glory. And it certainly, the flower certainly looks like morning glory. But in fact, if you look at the leaf of the morning glory is heart-shaped. And the leaf of the hedged bindweed is more shaped like an arrowhead, sort of. It's got these little flat ears and then a kind of a duck in, but you look at it and you will recognize it as sort of being more arrowhead-shaped than heart-shaped. And that hedge bindweed also began to bloom last Tuesday. And yesterday when I was out wandering about, I found lots of it. So shouldn't be hard to find if you're out looking. Big white trumpet-shaped flowers, and look at the leaf, and you'll quickly recognize the difference between hedge bindweed and hedge bindweed and morning glory. I was down along the lake edge the other day, and I was admiring the white water lilies, lots of them blooming right now, probably coming out to near their peak of bloom right now, and also lots of that common yellow pond weed, and also lots of common bladderwort. And the bladderwort is that interesting flower. It's a little yellow flower. It looks a little bit like a pea flower or maybe an orchid. It's kind of got a delicate sort of a shape to it. Underwater, there are these little capsules which capture small organisms and use them to augment its diet. So the bladderwort is kind of one of those interesting plants that we sometimes overlook, but probably shouldn't. Black-eyed Susans, probably one of the more common summer flowers, has begun to bloom. First flowers, 11 days early. So the black-eyed Susan is coming on right now. I'm seeing a few of the early blooms of black-eyed Susans. They're really easy to identify. Big yellow rays around a dark brown disc. And you can spot those along the area roads as you move about. Also in the flowering group that I've been watching over the last few days have been blue flags, the irises. They are probably approaching their peak of bloom. Alfalfa, those plants that didn't get burned in that serious frost have begun to flower. Lots of clusters of blue flowers on the alfalfa. Thimbleberry is about to begin blooming. Common blackberry is done blooming. Red raspberry, likewise done blooming. Canada Mayflower is done blooming. Fruits are present on all three of those plants, and all of them are edible if they make it around to putting out fruit before something happens that causes them to go bad. Yellow sweet clover is blooming, and this plant doesn't look anything like clover. It's 3, sometimes 4 feet tall. It's covered with these little yellow flowers, long arcing branches that are just filled with these little yellow flowers. And it is, in fact, yellow sweet clover. And the other, there is a white sweet clover, which looks exactly like it, except the flowers are white. And it is also a very tall plant. That little white clover that you're familiar with in your yard is sometimes called white clover or white Dutchman's clover, but the yellow sweet clover and the white sweet clover that are blooming now are nothing like that. They don't look at all like that little clover that you're familiar with in your yard. Timothy grass has its heads now and not yet flowering, but the heads are there on the Timothy grass. Those are those big, thick, furry heads that look kind of like a little green cigar at the top of a long branch of grass. Pitcher plant is blooming out in the swamps, along the edges of the roads. Rabbit's foot clover is blooming. Just the beginning of the rabbit's foot clover. We'll keep an eye on that and let you know when it gets closer to maximum bloom. You'll see it when it happens because it's just this furry, fuzzy-looking gray, now turning pink as it ripens, flower. And it looks much like the traditional clover heads that you think of, not at all like the yellow sweet clover or the white sweet clover, but quite a bit different and more like regular clover. Red elderberry are starting to take a blush. The berries are starting to get a little bit red. And staghorn sumac and smooth sumac are putting up flower heads. No flowers yet, but the flower heads are there. Pineapple weed, one of my childhood favorites. It's a little plant. It too has a leaf much like the yarrow, kind of fern-like, very finely divided leaves, and then a little capsule at the top that looks a bit like the blunt end, sort of the rounded end of, I don't know, a tube of lipstick maybe. And it's greenish and it will become more yellow as it ripens. But if you see these, and they always grow in the worst soils, that grow on my driveway where it's just gravel, and I don't even understand how they can possibly find enough nourishment there, but they occupy that niche and they do it well. But if you pick the flower off of the pineapple weed and crush it a little bit and smell it, you'll get a very pleasant odor from it. It's quite delightful. Cattails are in flower and putting out pollen right now. I've been swimming in some of the lakes around the area, and pollen from the cattails is clouding the water to a somewhat significant degree. The lake I was in this last Saturday, the pollen layer was about a foot thick and quite opaque. It was easy to see from the side looking in toward the patches of cattails. You could see where the pollen was definitely coming from. Among the animals that I've seen over the past week, I've been watching the loons on my lake. It's been my unpleasant duty to note that they have not had a chick this year, and I've seen both the adults out by themselves just swimming and diving and feeding, I suppose. And yesterday I was out to the lake and there were three loons on the lake, three adult loons. So another loon has come and joined the two that were on the lake, and somehow their nesting was not successful. But I've been watching my trumpeter swan pair on the lake, and I have, at one point, I could see that they had young, but they were way across the lake, and I couldn't get an accurate count. I leaned up against a popple tree and steadied myself and tried as hard as I could with my binoculars to see how many there were, and I thought there might be four or five. Well, this past week, I got a good look at them. They were right in front of me on my side of the lake for a change and very close into shore. And I was able to count all seven cygnets that they have this year. That is, for me, a personal record. They had 5 1 year and 4 1 year, but seven is really an outstanding effort on the part of that trumpeter swan pair. So I was pretty thrilled about that, and I hope that half of them anyway make it to adulthood. That would be pretty exciting for me. Among the birds that have really caught my attention this past week, the veeries are singing a lot, and they have that little veer call that really makes them kind of stand out to you, and then they do a very melodic call as well beyond that little veer call, but they are quite prominent in the soundscape that exists outside your door. Also, Brown Thrasher has been playing around on our road, and that's been fun to watch, kind of watching that bird, probably doing some feeding, and Lord knows what else it might be up to. This is sort of the end of the spring ephemerals. All of the spring ephemerals are well past their prime in terms of their flowering. We don't have any more starflower, no more bunchberry, no more Canada Mayflower. The wood anemone is done, so a lot of the spring ephemeral flowers are done. And we are moving into the summertime flowering season. And among the flowers that I have not seen yet in bloom, and perhaps you have seen some of these, but these flowers are all on my list, having bloomed in late June or early July. And they include cow parsnip, which is a 5 or 6 feet tall plant with a leaf as big as your hand, kind of a maple-like leaf, lots of lobes and big leaf, and then a cluster of flowers, white flowers at the top that is sometimes 5 or 6 inches across and more. So cow parsnip, the flowers are white, and a big, tall plant should be getting ready to bloom any day now. Fireweed, that magenta-colored weed that grows in big colonies. When you see those begin to bloom, you will see 40 or 50 of them together in a bunch. Common milkweed should be blooming this week. Common mullein should be blooming this week. Canada thistle, bull thistle, tall meadow rue, St. John's wort, early goldenrod, and asparagus. All of those plants should be blooming this week. Spikenard should be blooming, or at least have flower structure on it. Crown vetch, sort of an invasive vetch, got a cluster of white and pink flowers, sort of a knob, kind of a, I don't know, about the size of a plum. A cluster of pink and white flowers at the top of the foliage there on the crown vetch. Good for holding soil back, quick grower, but boy, it just gets into an area, it begins to dominate, and you don't see much else in the way of other flowers growing under the crown vetch. Finally, and this one you need to be aware of, is this is the time of year when the first water hemlocks will be blooming. And water hemlock is that deadly poisonous plant that grows wild here in northern Minnesota in the ditches, usually in a wetter ditch. Often, the real dry ditches probably won't have water hemlock, but ditches with a little bit of water in them, or maybe some sedge grass in the bottom, that's indicating that at some point during the year that ditch has some water in it. Water hemlock, it has a disc of white flowers. We've been talking about white flower discs. The cow parsnip and the yarrow both have those kinds of flowers. Hoary alyssum has a flower a bit like that. Those flowers and this water hemlock, a flat disc, probably 2.5, 3 inches across, tiny white flowers, many of them, maybe 50 or 60 in a clump. The plant itself has sort of a, not really, it's not really a palmate leaf, but the leaf structure is narrow, much narrower than, or much longer than wide, and toothed, and usually three followed by two behind it. And I think to the untrained eye, or maybe the first glance, you might think of it, the leaf might look a little bit like a marijuana leaf, but it is not, and certainly nothing that you want to get close to. Water hemlock is a nerve toxin, and Gil Quall, who introduced me to water hemlock, described it as, he said, if you dug up the root of a water hemlock and cut it with your knife and then licked the blade of your knife, as he put it, one more clean white shirt'll do you. which sort of put me off of this stuff. So if you don't have a clear picture of what water hemlock is, I suggest that you Google it and learn it, because it's one that you're going to want to be very careful of. There are many, many, many stories in the record of families and people in general who have just been out foraging and have eaten it. One particular story that I remember about water hemlock, a family of five tried it, and three of the five died, and the other two survived but spent a great deal of time in recovery. So learn water hemlock and appreciate the fact that it is deadly poisonous. You're going to want to keep it out of your ditches if you can. You can handle it wearing gloves, but you certainly don't want to get any of it in your body. You don't want to eat any of it, nothing. You know, if I were doing it, I would make sure that my gloves were something that I wouldn't put anywhere near my mouth for several weeks until the residue of those plants had a chance to escape. My final note has to do with the blue jays that are nesting in the spruce tree right outside my garage. The other day when it was so blazing hot, I went over to look at them, and the four little babies were in there, and they had their mouths open. They were panting. I went and got a spray bottle, and I came back, and I sort of misted over them a little bit so that they could cool off some. And I checked them just yesterday, and Mom is taking very good care of them. They are not fledging yet, but they do have on their wings, you can see the beginnings of those blue feathers that will be their wing feathers in another week or so. I expect that they'll be out flying around and maybe coming to the bird feeder and learning how to eat sunflower seeds. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in, and as always, if you have comments, questions, or observations you'd like to share, please get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you.